Hello, welcome.
Hello.
Hi. Andrea.
Hi.
What's your pronouns?
They, them.
They, them. Another non-binary.
Ooh. They, thems are the best.
Are the best. I always talk to people about like coming out as non-binary, coming out in general.
Shit. Oh my goodness. It's so many layers. So obviously, being Latina, it did not go well coming out.
Yeah, like with your mom.
Coming out did not go well. And I'm definitely still healing from that. Mm-hmm. But with her, it was initially like really bad. And I think now she realizes that there's no changing me. She knew that already, but she's coming to terms with the fact that she can't change me. And I think that it's forcing her to change how she acts around me. And I'm grateful. I mean, I wish it would have happened sooner. I wish she would have respected me sooner, but it's slowly happening. When she's in a good mood, she uses my pronouns. When she's in a good mood. So.
Okay. And when she's in a bad mood, she...
Yeah.
She forgets.
Yes. So being dead named is like a regular thing all the time.
Wait, this isn't... That's... Embryo's not your... Wow. Oh my God. I didn't even know that. I didn't know. I thought that was your legit name, like legal name.
Dead name?
Yeah.
I'm only going to say it one time.
No, you don't have to say it. No, don't say it.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, bro, I don't even want to know.
Okay.
I don't even want to know, but I didn't know that. Fuck.
Yeah.
That's tight. I love not knowing people's dead names, bro. Nah, that's crazy. Okay. So when you first told her you were like queer, like, She didn't have a very bad reaction to that, right? Or was that still a bad reaction?
It was still a bad reaction because I said both at the same time. Told her that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, she knew already. I was hinting at it. I've been telling her that I liked women for a while. And that was something that she did not want to hear. I remember one time we were driving in the car. Yeah. And she told me that I would never be happy with a woman. And I was like, I was so angry. I told her that she didn't know me, that she didn't have a right to say that. And standing up to her, it showed myself, like, you know, in this journey of being queer and like just finding myself, like, it's okay if she's not part of it. I mean, if she is, cool, but if she's not, like, I learned how to be okay with that. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
How did you like cope with that? Like that? Well, I don't know if you're still processing it. In general, like, you could be, that's heavy, you know, like, she, like, came for you.
Yes, she does.
And she does. She continues to, right?
Yeah. I think coping, I want to make my art, but I feel like sometimes I'm in a block because I'm just processing things. So right now, having my friends is helping me so much. Like, I'm so grateful for all my friends. And that's all I wanted was queer friends. And I got that, and that came in my life, and I'm so happy that came in my life, because I don't know what I would do without my non-binary friends, my trans friends, like, everybody who understands. Like, I don't know what I'd do without them. That's like, there's something that's gotten me through everything, just knowing that they're there for me. But yeah, that's how I've coped with that, is like all of us supporting each other, because we're all going through it together, you know. It's not easy being us, and I'm super grateful for everybody, all the love in my life. And I'm grateful for you.
That's cute. Oh, thank you. Yeah, well, the first time we ever met, like, I remember like how we met, it felt so like that day felt so ethereal. Yeah, but it just felt like it was a good day. Like, this, we had like, I don't know, I don't remember what we even did for real, but we went to the park. We went to the park, and then the sun was like setting just at the perfect time.
And I took
a
picture.
Yeah, we were sitting under the tree, and then we were having this talk about like dissociating and doing like the mental health part aspect of like not even being queer, but just like going through the mental health part. I was like, dude, this is crazy. I haven't felt disconnected to someone a long time, where it's just like, it was just easy to talk to you. You're easy to talk to. You're like a very like non-judgmental space. And you listen.
Same.
Like, you actually listen when people are talking, which is like never really happened. But
that's like one of the sweetest things you've ever said to me.
Dude, like, yeah, that day I was like, there are like certain experiences that make you just feel like, wow, like, I'm really like not alone in this. And like, as far as like dissociating stuff, I had never opened up to anybody about that stuff. And I think you told me too, like, you had never opened up with anybody about that stuff either.
No.
So it's just like, and that's not even about being queer, but it's like depression. And I feel like it's all like interlocked, like being queer, being depressed, yeah, like, or mentally. Yeah, like they're interlocked because like we're in a society that tells us like we don't belong here. And like, no matter if like people are directly saying it to us or they're shaking us off over here, it's very hard to find spaces where you can just like have that feeling of like, wow, today was like a good day.
A good day.
Like nothing went wrong today. Nothing like no one looked at me a certain way. And no,
you felt connected.
Like, yeah, I could talk freely with someone. They knew what I was talking about. You know, like
this super, super refreshing.
Yeah,
like a super tall glass of cold water. Like that was you.
Yeah, it's healing to talk to people who know exactly what you're going through, the pronouns. I don't think I was not binary at the time, but through you guys, you kind of sounded like make me make sense of like how I was feeling. And what am I? I don't know. I was like so confused for a minute. I was going to say, as far as like your culture, do you think that, the large reason why your mom has trouble processing your identity is because of culture or her own held beliefs? Because like we are, like you said, like we're Latinx or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, definitely. Those things together, you know, mm-hmm. like it's cultural and it's religious. It's cultural because of, you know, the machismo, and it's already homophobic, you know. Then we have the religious aspect, which is like gays are going to hell, you know.
Like, you know, gays are going to hell.
With her, the whole patriarchy, man belongs with woman. That's how it's supposed to be. That's natural, quote, quote, natural. Because so if you can't, according to like the religion, mm-hmm. if you can't procreate, if you can't have children, I know. But if you can't do that, then you're unnatural, mm-hmm. you know? And so.
Has she said something like that to you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So having those conversations with her, like trying to explain to her that that's not how it works. And that we just are and we always will be. And I don't need to like explain my existence to you. I don't need to tell you like these things. Having to explain to my mom who I am mm-hmm. is not only draining, mm-hmm. but it's like, I just feel like it's something that if she wants to know me, then she should do it.
You're her child.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of her love for you. It should be something she's inclined to do.
Yes. This is a very therapeutic conversation.
Yeah. Well, every time we get on this wave.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, and it's not right. And it's like how it is with a lot of people. I feel like how embedded they are in that culture and how embedded they are in the religion creates how defensive they will be when their child like comes out in a certain mm-hmm. like way. Because like my mom is not, obviously. When I came out, she didn't care. But my mom is also very young mm-hmm. and second gen. So it's just a little bit of distance. And as more distance comes, my kid comes out. I'm obviously not going to fuck about anything.
Yeah.
They could tell me they're anything. I'll be like, okay, I'm just trying to love you at the end of the day. That should be what is coming out. And it's so weird because I have had like friends who it's like their parent uses their inability to accept them.
Who they are.
Loving them. Mm-hmm. They're like, I love you, so I don't want this for you.
Yes.
Or, yeah, like it's hard. It's like, we're not going to be accepted in every single space, but we're going to find another space. And it's like, if you don't provide a space
then I'm within the home,
yeah, I'm going to find my own. But also, it'd be much nicer if you did already provide that space.
Exactly.
So, what are you trying to say about, like, I'm just going to make your life a little harder and I don't want that for you? It's like the religious aspect, the one that gets like the most fucked up because people end up taking their lives because they'll be like, we can't ever accept you, period.
Yeah, and just like finding people, I think that did save my life. Mm-hmm. And I think that without the love around me, like I wouldn't be here, definitely. Mm-hmm. But I will say that I did get myself through a lot of things. Through those hard days, like I told myself that I know that like my time is not up and I know I'm supposed to be here. And yes, it's super difficult, but you got to keep going. Like mm-hmm. even when I felt like I couldn't explain myself into words, I knew that there was love around me and I knew that my time wasn't up and I knew that I wasn't alone. Mm-hmm. The first thing that comes to my head is that I was there for myself.
Okay.
But I'm definitely learning how to let people be there for me because the independence is kind of toxic sometimes.
This hyper independence is also a trait of Latino culture.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you think you struggle with letting people be there for you consistently?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so.
In what ways like do you not let like people in?
Like they'll ask me about myself or like mm-hmm. how I'm doing and I only tell them half of it.
Just good.
Either good but then I don't want to lie. So mm-hmm. maybe I'll just say half of the truth. Because I haven't let people help me. I was mm-hmm. talking to my cousin about this. Because mm-hmm. I haven't let people help me. They're not used to my, like, they're used to my happiness and not my sadness. So mm-hmm. I don't really share that with people. But mm-hmm. I know that now I should share more of that mm-hmm. sadness with people so that we can all be there and heal together. Like, before I didn't know that. I'm learning now that it's okay to show, to be vulnerable, to be sad, to show people how you feel, like genuinely feel. Because I grew up in a house where, you know, it's got to be picture perfect and you have to be happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's really toxic.
Yeah, because so it's never true.
It's never true. Mm-hmm. It's impossible to be that way. Learning now that I have to show everyone, or not show everyone, show people who are in my life that I'm not doing well and that it's okay to tell them that I'm not doing well when I'm not. Before I would just, you know, like, oh, I'm good. Like, you know, like you said, lie. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm good. I'm okay. Just to get through, do it on my own. But now I'm like, I need people to help me. We need people. Mm-hmm. That's one of my least favorite things that people say is that, oh, I don't need anybody.
Yeah, we talked about that. Like,
we did about talk that. About that.
Yeah.
Because I hate when people say that.
I hate when people say that because it's not true. It's not true. And it's one of my red flags. If it yeah. comes off of someone's mouth, I'm literally like immediately, I'm like, no. Mm-mm. But those people are speaking out of environment that has been, well, is like very popular within family dynamics, where I cannot show my emotions. Mm-hmm. I can't show my true self. And so I've like created this whole persona that is acceptable to the people around me that is not real.
And it kills them.
Yeah. But, you know, on that same coin, they're like, I don't need anyone because I did all this shit. I achieved all this shit. I'm out here still living as this fake persona. Yeah. And I'm also side living as this other person. But I'm still doing it. Like, well, that is true, but also that's a lie, because if you did have someone and if you did admit you did need somebody, if you had people, they didn't want a persona, they wanted you, then that would better off you. Like, you do need that, right? Like, you don't need people who want you to be someone entirely different than who you are. Because if you had that, I mean, shit, like, you do have those people on the side. Like, maybe it's not your family, but it's your friends. Those are people who you really, you need those people.
You do.
Yeah. You'd be dead without those people.
Exactly.
So you need somebody. It's just people who have been scarred, mm-hmm. understanding that pain. But then that sentence in itself is like, it trips itself up because you don't need anyone, but you're not doing well, right?
Exactly.
Well, it's because you need somebody.
That's so profound.
I had like an ex or whatever who would say that all the time. That was like my first like stem of it, where it's like, oh, that's just not true. Because I see you relying on all these people to barely make it by. And then you get like a little bit up and then you're like, I don't need anyone. I'm like, bro, you've been relying on all these people this whole time. Yeah, the pride. And pride is a useless emotion, something my mom always says.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a hindering emotion. It doesn't pull you forward, or it makes everybody repel against you, because they're like, wow, I did all this for you, though. Emotionally, whatever. It's like, people want to be acknowledged, even if they don't care. Like, they're doing things out of their own want and love for you, but it's still nice to be like, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, where's the line between being proud and having pride? I agree with you. Like, pride is, you know, that's useless because it's not going to get you mm-hmm. anywhere.
Pride is like, it's like you're so, like, your ego's so big, you can't see anybody else on the top of that mountain. You stepped on or got through like that whole path, that journey. You pretend it doesn't even exist. Like, you're on top of the mountain and you're like, I made it here. Like, blah, blah. Like, it's kind of like, it's kind of like those people I think about who cross the border, and then the second they cross the border, they're like, oh, fuck all those people, fuck immigrants, fuck everyone, blah, blah. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
Bro, you just came from there. I've seen that before. Like, literally just came from there. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like, no, I'm American now, blah, blah. It was like that weird individualism, pride. Yeah, exactly. Forget mm-hmm. all that. Forget all the struggle, all the thing. Like, no, I've always been like this. I've always been a hard worker. I've always did blah, blah. It's like, nah, bro. Like, you're a human being. Like, exactly. They forget that they're a human being.
Forget where they come from.
Yeah. And a lot of times, like, those people aren't super successful, because to achieve anything, you have to acknowledge your team and go through, you know, just be grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So usually they are stuck in their own self-doubt and don't really go anywhere because their pride won't even let them grow. Because they're like, oh, well, I got this one criticism and now I'm not going to do shit. To be proud is, oh my God, I actually accomplished something. Oh my God.
Like, oh, like I got up today and like I made myself some food.
Yeah.
Like,
even if it's not something big. And if it's something big, then they'll be like, I'm so grateful for this person that helped me here. That my whole journey, like, I was nothing at one point, and now I'm like, you know, it's like, you can admit that you have fault.
Mm-hmm.
When pride is like, I don't have any fault.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
I think in general, you're very down to earth. So these are things we don't have to worry about.
That's true.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But yeah, I was going to ask you because I don't know if you know that you're consciously like such a great listener, but
I don't think so. When you tell me, I was kind of surprised.
You're like mad attentive.
I really appreciate that.
It's a rare quality in people where like you're able to stop what's going on in your mind to like fully process what someone else is saying and be there in that moment.
To be present. I've been told that before, like by my close friends, because they really know me, and I know that I haven't known you for a long time, but I feel like you do really know me. The little cheese, little smile. Yeah. But yeah, I have been told that before. I just I don't like to like brag or anything. But
I don't like to brag or anything.
But I think that I am a good listener.
Yeah.
I noticed that I have a hard time like saying like qualities about myself. Like, oh, I am a good listener, or oh, I'm a good artist, or mm-hmm. like I'm good at this because I wasn't told growing up, like I'm proud of you.
Exactly.
And so
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. very affirming.
Yeah.
Very affirming. Thank you.
Yeah.
But so whoa, that was a moment. okay. Oh my god.
No, every time someone does that to me too, I'm like, ah! No.
Let me let that sink in really quick. Yeah. For a second.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not told. It's hard to acknowledge those good things. I don't know if that's fucking Hispanic culture or that's just emotional abuse. At the end of the day, it kind of goes together.
They kind of coexist,
which is unfortunate. We have all these people who are Hispanic and or just like minorities who have like no sense of self-worth, and it's like, well, why? It's like, well, because within our culture it's like, don't be proud, but to an extent that you like hate yourself, like don't like tear yourself down whenever you like accomplish anything, or whenever you're like going to the gym. Oh, you're going to the gym now. Oh, you're a gym rat. Like the way that we like fucking pick on people for no reason, like someone's gained a little bit of weight. Oh, wow, Mia, you're getting so big. Like, like just a little bit. And then you stop eating a little bit. It's like, oh my gosh, she's getting so skinny. It's here. Like, it's a bunch of shit talking, you know? We can't enjoy ourselves amongst ourselves. Anything like that.
For real.
But yeah, what you were saying, like, you can't take compliments. Keep going with that.
So growing up, or like we both said, growing up in a household that way, I've been retraining myself and like building myself up, because, you know, if I'm not going to do it, and, you know, my friends as well, but for myself personally, because I think a lot of narrative like that happens, like in order to grow, like you have to do a lot of self narrative. A lot of it is you. Yes, we need support, but like the only person that can change you in the way that you think is you. Mm-hmm. So having to change my narrative, because before I would be like, oh no, like I would be too humble. If that's the word, like too humble, like to the point where, because it's okay to be humble, but if you put yourself down, then that's too humble.
Like, it's not good. Mm-hmm. Like you made something, someone's telling you it's good, and you're like, eh, it's all right. It's not that good.
Yeah, I would do that so much. And, you know, sometimes I still do that.
Yeah. Instead of just saying thank you. Like,
no,
why? Sure. Why can't we just say thank you? You know, like
it's deeper.
It's deeper. Yeah, it's like the really low sense of self-worth, because like no one's ever given us compliments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they definitely weren't giving us compliments, definitely weren't giving us affirmation. If they were compliments, they weren't really
kind of backhanded
compliments, or like, oh, you're good for you. Yeah, good for you.
It's like, oh, like, good for me. Like,
what are you gonna do now? Like, oh, I graduated, for instance. Like, okay, what are you gonna do now? There's no like, I'm proud of you for graduating, but okay, what are you gonna do now? It's like that's the culture. That's how it is. Like, no affirming compliment stuff. But you're right. You have to change your own inner dialogue, because that's where it starts and ends with you. You can cut off all these people, right? And like, stop talking to the people or caretakers who have like consistently made it so you can't take compliments, or like they just give you toxic compliments. They're never gonna give you compliments. You gotta stop seeking that from them. But then you gotta be like, oh fuck, it's still in my brain. Like, whatever they fed you, right, it's still going on in your in your subconscious, because that's all you know, like you're a young person.
So you literally have to like remove it from your brain.
Yeah,
like
you literally have to do
those things. You have to remove it and replace it with your own affirmations, with your own self-love, with your own like, because you have to get rid of all those things that they told you. You have to like take it out of your brain.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to help you. It's not going to grow you.
Yeah. It sucks because it's like that cycle that they're pushing onto you is like, they're doing it totally subconsciously. Like, that's probably what their parents did, just a little less. Like, their parents were probably more cruel with it. In Hispanic culture, like, no acknowledgement at all. Women are shit on, all this stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
They're just like, okay, I'm gonna treat my kids different. When I have kids, I'm gonna treat them different. I'm just gonna lessen it a little bit. I think we talked about this too, where it's like, everything that they went through was pure emotional abuse, sometimes pure physical abuse. Mm-hmm. Then they have kids and they're like, okay, let me just not do what my parents did, but they still end up doing it just to like a lesser extent.
They naturally just pass it on because that's what they were taught wrong.
Exactly. And then they invalidate the way that you feel when you bring it to them, when you go to therapy or maybe you're talking to someone who like makes you realize your own self-worth and you bring it up to them and then they're like, oh, what do you mean? I'm not even bad. You should have known when I was like, when I was your age and when my parents, blah, blah, blah. It's like, they just keep bringing up their trauma that they haven't dealt with, when it's like, if they had dealt with that trauma, if they had the resources to therapy and all that stuff, like, they wouldn't be talking at you like that. Yeah, imagine what we would be, our self-esteems, all those things. And like, and it sucks because it is mainly impacting people of color. It goes as far as like, we're making art, right? I go to some galleries in LA where there are a lot of white artists there, or some, maybe one POC person of color, like making art in this gallery, and they're usually in the back, they're not on the front. And
they should be in the front.
Right. And their work is like valued by themselves. Like, they set their own prices, right? Be like this crazy intricate piece, all this fucking crazy like shading, realism, blah, blah, like things that take a lot of fucking time. But you can just tell like there's a lot of thought, training, or years of it, you know? And they have it valued at like $35.
Oh my God.
And then you go to the front and there's like just like some abstract, like I took some paint. For I like threw it against
$1,000.
Yeah, for like $1,000, $10,000, whatever. And it's like, why? What's the difference here? Undervaluing their work.
Undervaluing their work.
And then there's somebody else who is just like completely privileged in society, not person of color.
Completely different.
Yeah, and you can tell too. Sometimes there's pictures and stuff, but it's just like, I feel like that bleeds into every aspect of our life. That the low self-confidence, we're like, okay, well, this isn't worth anything. But we also like don't value like capitalism in general. There's like, there's so many like things, but it's just like, damn, dude, like, and it's like, we need to
break
out the cycles, really dedicate yourself to healing, and you find your ways and you continue to learn and grow. You're never gonna be like shit forever. You're always focusing on trying to grow. But there are some things that get unlocked in therapy that are completely subconscious that I would have never put together for myself, you know? It's because that's a professional there. Like, people really don't accredit doctors, like psychotherapists, as much as they should, as they do doctors, you know? This person is like trained for your mind. So why wouldn't you let them heal you a little bit?
Let them help you.
Yeah. And you gotta find a good one, but still, it's just like, gotta stop the cycle.
You gotta stop the cycle.
Let's talk about love.
Oh my God.
Love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
Because right now you're talking about cultivating love for yourself, which is a beautiful thing. Sounds like you're on the right track, you know, creating these dialogues, rewriting these dialogues.
I think right now I'm at, I think, an 80% because the other 20 is just because I'm battling like what people have told me and like getting rid of like those things that have been said to me, like still healing from those things. So not 100, but I think I'm like an 80. Like an 80%.
Okay. All right. The things that people told you, those regarding to like your identity, like being non-binary, being queer. Okay. Mostly like your mom's wounds, I would assume.
I think so.
Yeah. Those cut the deepest.
They do.
Yeah. What are the like methods you have used to rewrite dialogues, cultivate love for yourself?
Definitely art, photography, taking pictures. Mm-hmm. Taking pictures reminds me that like I'm here. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I'm gone, those will still be here. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I take pictures, I'm just like reminding myself of my own existence. And with dissociating, that all goes into like, that all ties together,
right?
Because with dissociating, you don't feel like you're real. And with photos, it literally is like an archival, like
tangible
thing that you can see and that you can touch and that is will never go away. And I really, really needed that. So
it grounded you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. I like your description of that.
Thank
you. I never think about that like that. I'm not so tied to it, to photography, that one. Yeah, because you do mixed media, like you'll do photos mixed mm-hmm. with the writing, mixed with the little scribble scrabble. Is there a piece that you did, like, or a period of time, I guess, where you were making mm-hmm. something that it really helped you heal or like close the door on something that you were like really holding on to a lot? Is there like something, because I mean, I have like a few of those. This really helped me, like this specific period of my life when making shit helped me.
That's really good. I love that question. Okay. That's a really good question. Because I do have an answer for that, like immediately came to my head. I want to say it was 2019 to 2020. Mm-hmm. I have like a collage book.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah, sick. I have a collage book and there's some pieces in there. There's also memories like receipts from restaurants or like just places that I've been to. But the pieces in there that helped me heal, like doing that helped me heal, because, you know, when you collage, you're picking and choosing things that you see and then you're bringing them all together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what was happening in my life. Like I was just trying to put it together, trying to understand and making a picture out of all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And
fragments,
the collaging. I think the collaging was that time period that you're talking about, like
mm-hmm.
that healing. And my favorite thing, like, I mean, using scissors for that is cool, but I like tearing it.
Yeah.
I like tearing it because when you tear it, you don't really know how it's going to come out.
Right.
It takes its own direction when you tear it. And then use tape to put everything back together. Maybe I'll show you a piece later. Finding that, like, I don't remember when the first time I did that. I think the reason why I can't remember when I started is just because it happened naturally and it happened when it was supposed to. That's why I can't remember mm-hmm. when I started collaging. Side note, I never really felt like connected to paint mm-hmm. for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. And I think it's because like you have to like choose every stroke. Yeah, you can go on top of it, but like I noticed that in like an artistic journey, like mm-hmm. I couldn't connect to like paint for some reason. And if I did, it was just solely one, like black or like ink.
Mm-hmm.
Ink was really cool, but I feel like paint, there was just like a lot like going on that I couldn't like wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, like having people in art class like tell you how to paint, I don't like when people tell me how to do things. I like to just do things on my own,
right?
So I think that's why I couldn't paint, is because I didn't like somebody telling me what to do. And just very like freelance, like it has to be like on my terms, on my own. But yeah, that's something about myself. Like I don't like people telling me what to do. So I couldn't really get on like painting. And maybe I will in the future, but right now I don't think so. But when I found collaging, it just felt really natural.
Yeah.
Tape is like a huge thing that I use when I collage, because you can never have like too much tape. I don't know why.
Yeah. That felt very Bob Rossi. Yeah, like you can never have too much tape. Just do what you want to do.
Wait, what does he say? There are no mistakes.
Yeah.
Only happy accidents.
Yeah, yeah. I think there's very much the vibes.
Uh-huh. Tape. You can just keep layering it. I'll show you later, but I like to, when I paste something, I like to follow the direction of the angles and then like tape how I see it. I do it as I go. I don't plan it. I just do it because mm-hmm. I feel like if I plan it, then it comes out bad. So mm-hmm. just like let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
We should make art together one day.
Yeah.
I think that'd be really cool.
So what I'm pulling from this, like all this interpretation of like how you like go through the process of like making something, is just you like when things just like flow in life, not fighting it, you know, like you're going to make something out of it, but you're still going to go with the flow of life and be like, oh, well, that happened. Okay, that's cool. I think it like speaks to like resilience. Like you have a lot of resilience and strength. And I think that's like why people like being around you, like your energy and stuff. Because even my mom, she lights up when you're around too, which is weird because my mom does not light up, you know? But it's like you have like this energy about you where it's like you are like a strong force without being like overbearing or pushing the boundaries of or someone else's boundaries. Like you're not invasive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's like, wow, it's
you're
like,
gonna make me cry right now.
No, but like for real, because I always try to like pinpoint these things about like people and how they make me feel, and like, oh, why do I like being around this person? Why have I kept this person like
in my life? Why do I want to keep this person in my
life? Yeah, because like so sometimes I'm like, okay, I can feel disconnected to you because it's like we are so different in age. Mm-hmm. Yeah, where it's like it's not just age; it's just like I have different like internal struggles, mm-hmm, than your struggles, and those were the same way overlap with a lot of things. It's like sometimes I'm like, oh man, I don't even know what's going on with Embryo, but like you also don't verbalize a lot too, and I don't verbalize. I feel like we have the same type of like
tendencies,
stint within us, or like whatever it's called, like that posture where we're like, okay, we are both somebody to somebody who is like, we have to maintain our stride and like how we are, we got to keep going. But no, with you, it's just like, it's like this force that is not forceful, you know, like
force that isn't forceful.
It's like nurturing and like it's warm and strong still, like respectable, you know what I mean? And like you hold your own. I know you're going to hold your own, but like it'd be nice if you let us come in, you know, let us come in.
Knocking on the door.
Yeah. But I think like it's rare, you know, I try to find the things that are like innately like just to that person. And that is it with you. Like you have a strong presence about you. You are present. And then you're also like, you're strong. Like you command your own space. You know what I mean? You are going through life, but it doesn't mean that you're not without conviction. Like you're going through life, creating something, like carving this pathway. Yeah, we're going through like a lot of things. And I think that a lot of people would like kind of cower within like their struggles of like the pressures of like being queer, pressures of being non-binary, having a family that is like
very
mm-hmm. like religious, or just like, and there's other stuff on top of that you told me where it's just like not really a good environment in general, you know, where it's like you could crumble. I never hear that from you, like never. Like you're always like, yeah, it's bad, but you know, I'm gonna keep going, whatever. Like you're like, it's never that bad. Like whatever you say, like you're always like, oh, it's never that bad, I'm gonna keep going.
Resilience.
That
word.
Yeah.
It's like, that's something that I'm like telling myself. That's a compliment that I'm learning to accept.
I was thinking to myself in the car, I was like, no one benefits like in the world from like you not being yourself. We all go throughout the world and we're like, oh, I have to be this person to this person. I have to be this person here. At the end of the day, if I'm thinking about it, like my strongest points of like who I am and of the people who I know, like, no one has ever benefited from them not expressing themselves, not commanding their space, not demanding their space, not like creating things.
No one's benefited from that.
No one.
Yeah.
From them just conforming. But that's how it is, where it's like, if you were to like push yourself into a certain box, you know, like that would benefit nobody. Nobody. Exactly. Because like what you have is very strong. So it's like, you keep cultivating that shit, bro. Like, and keep doing what you're doing, like telling yourself affirmative words and keep making art and keep doing it like the way that you like to do it.
And letting people help me.
Yeah. And letting people help you in like whatever sense of the word that means, where it's like just accepting compliments from people where that could help you. It would, like, day by day, that could help you change your inner dialogues, or just being like learning to say no from people, or just having conversations like this with people that are healing, you know, like in that way, that is help, where you can just like accept it in little like indirect ways, and then eventually learn how to accept it in a direct way, where it's like, can I help you? Okay. Like, you're fine with that. Like, you know, if you got to take it in little amounts until it's digestible fully as what it is, raw.
Ooh, that was poetic.
But you give me a lot of information, so but yeah, bro, like that's what I was saying about. I was like, you gotta go, like you gotta keep building that up, because if you don't, like some bad shit could happen. Like I've only seen like beautiful things come out of like someone being who their whole ass self
who
is.
Who they fully are, and not sacrificing themselves.
Yeah. And I think you do a good job of like not losing connection with yourself. I really think you do. Like you're always like, no, I'm not going to do that. It's not what I'd want to do. So it's like, that's cool, because people don't have that strength.
That's like, that's definitely gotten me in a lot of trouble.
Right.
Is doing what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, like, you know, even since I was a child, you're making me remember, like, them telling me, like, oh, you can't do it this way. Or, like, oh, like, you want to do it like this. No, you have to make the craft this way. Or at recess, you have to go here. And it's like, no, I want to go over there. Like, you know, like, as a little kid. And my mom used to call me a traviesa. And like,
this, exactly. Who else do they call troublemakers? Like everyone who's like influential, who's fun.
It's really true. Mm-hmm. But yeah, since I was little, that's what I remember. And yeah, that's funny. It's like going backwards, going to the past, like reminding mm-hmm. me of like who I was and who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. It is something that is like already like naturally within you. And if you hold on to it, because some people like, that's just not for them. You know, like, it's just not for them. Mm-hmm. Like, some people are probably just made to like, you know, go into society. They fit in really well there. Everyone loves them. They're like, I'm gonna go to regular job. Ooh, do that stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, woo, I love it. So, and they love it. They love it, bro.
So boring.
Yeah, but they love it. They really do. They don't know. They're not conscious of it. They love it. That's themselves. That is them being themselves, I think. For someone out there. But for you, nah.
No. I knew this is gonna go well today.
Yeah.
It's grounding.
Yeah, it's a grounding. Earthing. I'm earthing inside here. This is a random question.
Okay, I'm ready.
How was your first relationship with a girl?
That was something that I should have been like, I just went about it. The first thing that comes to my head is that I did put my full self into it, mm-hmm. but I wasn't like ready like to fully like love her the way that she needed to be loved. Mm-hmm. I was going through my own things, and I wish that I owed her more. Like, I wish that I would have, I didn't have the capacity to, but I wish I would have given her more. Yes, I gave my full self, but I wasn't there the way that I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. Being in a relationship that was queer, being with a woman, because I am queer, but mm-hmm. being with a woman was super, super like comforting. She was just like, I gotta get in the feelings right now.
Yeah, go. If you're comfortable, go.
I am.
Them. Dive into them.
She was something that I felt like I knew when I met her. Mm-hmm. I met her in high school. And of course, as it always happens, we're friends first.
This is the one. This is the one.
This is the one.
That I feel like, okay, I was talking to somebody about this recently where it's like mm-hmm. everyone has a best friend they fall in love with.
Yes, that's the one.
They know really well. The cosmic one. The cosmic one. This is the one. All this right. Is,
yeah.
After you, this, I might go off on mine.
Ooh, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm ready for
this.
That.
Is going to get some fucking like deep artsy conversation about love. But yeah.
Oh my God.
You were friends first.
We were friends first. And she.
Mm-hmm. She.
When we first met, we were friends. And she would tell me later on that she knew that I always had something for her, but that I wasn't ready to come to terms with that, because growing up in a religious household, growing up in a space where that wasn't allowed, I felt like I couldn't act on it. I felt like I couldn't be her partner, at the time girlfriend, because I wasn't non-binary then. I didn't realize that I was non-binary then.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of memories, like in the beginning, like of our friendship. Something that connected us was music. And yes.
Same.
Cosmic, you know, music. She would share her headphones with me. I would have one, and she would have the other one. We sit right next to each other. And sometimes we wouldn't look at each other. I mean, sometimes we would look at each other, but I really like the times where, I mean, don't get me wrong, looking in her eyes was something else, but when we didn't look at each other and when we would just be with each other, that was something that I think that's something that made me fall for her too, is that I could just be with her. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have to say anything because we understood each other's pain without needing, and with each other's needs, each other's pain without needing to say something.
Yes.
And so that's something that like made me fall really, really, really hard.
That's the cosmic.
But yeah, I don't think I've ever gone into depth this much about it, but I definitely am ready to do that. So
okay. Yeah, it's healing.
It is healing.
Yeah.
So that was initially when we met, and then, you know, her friends and like mutual people noticed like our connection, but nothing ever like happened. Like we didn't date. However, I got a boyfriend. Ugh. And yes, I got a boyfriend in high school, and she was so, so, so upset with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew why. It's because it was like a betrayal, like that had this for her, but I was like, you know, not ready for that. So I put it to the side and got with someone, and she was so upset with me when I got with this person, because she, you know, she already didn't like this person that I was with, this guy that I was with.
Dude, this and sounds exactly like what I went through.
Okay. No way.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Oh my God. So I got with this guy,
mm-hmm.
and obviously, okay, I got it. So when I got with this guy, obviously she felt betrayed, and our relationship was changing, and she was really upset with me because I wasn't putting effort. I wasn't in this. Obviously, when you get with somebody, things change. And when you're in high school, you know.
Yeah, full throttle. Yeah,
you know, stop. It's all like, it's all mistakes. Like you're constantly like, you know, you're young and you're making mistakes like all the time. And so I got so caught up in this relationship that I didn't give her, like, I wasn't giving her the time that I couldn't grow the friendship when I was with this guy. Mm-hmm. And so things started to change between us. And I remember the day that she told me that she didn't want to be friends with me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more, the reason why it hurt is because it was more than just like, I don't want to be friends with you because you're with this guy. It was, I don't want to be friends with you because you left us. Everything. So we had written each other things, and we had things like, one of the things that I remember, and I still have it actually, a sun and a moon necklace. I got two because she considered me like the sun and her the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember the day that she packed all our stuff up, like in a bag.
Oh.
And she broke into my locker.
Fuck.
And she shoved all that stuff in the locker.
Damn.
She gave me back all the love that I had given her, literally in like the physical.
Mm-hmm.
Put it back in the locker. Well, actually, no. It was like really messed up. Like everything was messed up and broken. I could tell she like went through everything and was super angry and super hurt, and like it was damaged, and like the letters I had written were all crumpled up, and
Aww.
It was like one of the worst days of high school.
I'm like, all this teenage angst.
Oh yes, all of it.
Yeah.
All of it. And I remember looking at the locker, and then my eyes welled up, and I think it was like, I don't know, maybe second or third period, so it was like 10-ish
early in the morning.
It was in the morning, and she didn't have the same period as me in music, so I didn't see her because it was my band locker, and I wanted to look for her, and but then I couldn't bring myself to.
Yeah. Tears coming.
But oh, not tears. I'm like trying to like gather my breath right now.
Okay. Yeah.
So the day that she did that, I was going to message her, but it just felt like she had already spoken to me by doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And she had already told me that I want to get rid of the memory of you because I can't have you the way that I want anymore. So therefore, I'm giving you back everything that you ever gave me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like heartbreak. So first love, heartbreak, but I kind of insinuated that, you know, because I initially got with somebody, but mm-hmm. I felt like she really broke my heart back after doing that.
Yeah.
Because I would never give back.
It's definitely
what I've
like
given.
A reflex hurt and then another hurt on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, boom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Severe. That's the first heartbreak, huh?
Yes.
Your
first love.
The first person you were with that was a girl broke your heart really hard
when
too.
When we were younger, yeah. Yeah, and then later on, you know, we would get together because we both told each other that we knew that we had something, but we didn't, you know, we didn't go about it the way that we wanted to. And so, like, we were like, we know that we should have been together, so let's be together. And so we were, but it was really short-lived. It was a fast burn.
Mm-hmm.
And
same.
Yeah. But it was like one of the best relationships that I'd had.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Even though it didn't last it was one of the best relationships that I had. Mm-hmm. So it was last year. It was last year.
That's recent.
It's been a year.
Uh-huh. I forget how young you are sometimes.
No, I'm only 20. It was last year. Mm-hmm. And you know, she's based in Texas. Mm-hmm. In the military, and so she actually flew me out to see her.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and that trip went badly. You told mm-hmm. me.
Mm-hmm. And it did go badly. And I think the reason why it went badly too is because I realized that there was hurt in her that I wanted to heal, but that I couldn't. Mm-hmm. And that was the work that she had to do within herself. And there was things that she didn't want to face and that I couldn't face for her. And that's where the divide in our relationship happened. That's where it started, was that I felt like we were on two different pages where I wanted to heal from the past. And in order for it, so we coped in different ways. I wanted to work through it and like heal from it. And she wanted to distract herself and ignore it and act like things were like, so we coped differently.
Mm-hmm. Are you speaking specifically to like the pain from your relationship together, or are you speaking like to other exterior things that were going on?
Our traumas.
Okay.
Like our traumas.
Together. Okay.
So, yeah. Separate the, like, our traumas, like, the things that she's been through and the things that I've been through. Because mm-hmm. in a relationship, you come together and mm-hmm. you're with each other. So, how I was coping was different than her coping. Mm-hmm. And she started getting caught up in partying. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be there, but she wasn't there for me when I needed her. And that really hurt because we were always there for each other when we were friends. So I was like, how come it changes when we're in a relationship?
Yeah.
Like when we were friends, we were tight, we're always there for each other.
Yeah.
And when we're in a relationship, it changed. And I think it kind of changed too, because when you're in a relationship, it's like solid. Because with a friend, you're like, oh, like you could lose a friend. But within a relationship, it's like, oh, like even if I do something wrong, I'm still going to have this person at the end of the day. And I felt like she like discarded me.
Took
and
I felt ignored. Took you for granted.
Mm-hmm. And I felt taken for granted. And mm-hmm. that's why I left. And
it was just an incompatibility, yeah. Really, because like what you were doing, like you faced things head on, what they were doing. And I know that like from like them being in the military and stuff too, that probably affected the way that they coped. I think very much that the military perpetuates shoving things down and pretending they didn't happen.
That's obviously what they do to keep going.
How else are you going to keep going? Mm-hmm. You see, like, some of them go through some really crazy shit.
Really terrible things.
Yeah. So it's like at the point, like the way that life, the places that life took you to different points of like, this is the way I can heal and this is the way I can heal to survive. And this is the way I can heal to survive. Mm-hmm. And then it just like went into the relationship. Uh-huh. And I would think also, well, you can disagree with me if you feel opposite, but like in my scenario, for that person who I had like that cosmic connection with, that high school, like who I consider like my first real big heartbreak that went on for a long time, after that initial pain or that first like big break, where it's like, yeah, we're going to come back from this because that's what we do. We come back from this. Like we have a really strong connection. But after they hurt you, you hurt them. And then you kind of like agree to be together after that. It just doesn't feel like, depending on like how much time has passed and everything, like mm-hmm. it just doesn't feel like, not that it's not right, but that there's like not another way that this is going to keep ending in pain. Kind of.
And you know that.
Yeah.
And that's why that trip went badly.
Because
I knew that.
Mm-hmm, because the feelings are too significant in a connection like that. And I was talking to my other friend about this too, where they also had this experience, like this really cosmic, strong love. Maybe it's just your first love. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's still like I have yet to find a connection like that with somebody else. And obviously like we're older, so our frontal lobes are engaged. We're trying to see like other things mm-hmm. now apart from like, oh my God, we have this in common, blah, blah, blah. But it's still different where it's like what you're speaking to, where it's like I don't have to say a lot around this person. They know what I'm thinking. They know my body language. They know the song I want to hear right now, why I'm listening to the song I'm listening to. I don't have to explain that to them. Like they know. And it's because we were raised the same way, or we were put into like these weird specific situations where it's just like there's something between us that is not, it's like more than chemistry. It's like, it's weird.
It's natural.
It's natural. It's strong. It's like we both know it's there. And it's hard because when you're queer, that's just another hurdle to overcome, to like, if the other person isn't accepting of their queerness, that's going to hurt you. And that's what hurt me initially. Like, that hurt the person that loved you. It was like, you couldn't accept.
I couldn't accept myself.
Exactly.
Back then.
Exactly.
And she was out. Like.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was my case where I was out. Person I was wanting to be with couldn't accept their queerness. Couldn't accept
them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if it was so fucking apparent. Like, just like what we had was very valuable. You know? And then after that pain, that initial pain where I had like forced myself to like get over this person. Mm-hmm. Create space for myself, create the space of like, who am I without this person, blah blah, like, you know, you're like young and you're still finding yourself in general, but like having to fill that void, and then they come back, and like that pain of doing that back and forth, and then being
just
like
hurt each other again.
Yeah. And then being like, okay, we're gonna grow up, we're gonna do all this stuff, and like eventually like it's gonna be fine, like all the history and all the pain and everything, like we can heal from this. Like, I think a part of you, or like a part of me at least, I don't want to say like you, like for everyone, but I feel like a part of me at least was like, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Like, I want to believe it because what we have is so like easy and good. But then at the end of the day, it's like, it's not easy because it hurt me, it hurt you, and it hurt different periods of time. And now we got two separate ass people who, like, we've been inconsistently talking and, like, doing all this stuff and, like, creating this pain and this space.
And as much as you want to keep it, you know that
it's just
you
too
can't.
Much.
It's too much.
It's too much.
And that's why I couldn't stop crying when I saw her.
Yeah.
Because I knew something was wrong. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that. Because I was like, I should be happy to see you. Like, when she flew me out, when I saw her, like, you know, I'm in a relationship with you. You're my girlfriend. Like, I should be happy to see you. And I was. But
there's a dread.
Each night I was there, I was just so sad. And I was like, why am I so sad? And I should be happy to see you. But it's just those hurts that, you know, they didn't go away. And it's still there. And part of me knew, too, that as much as I wanted this to happen, it couldn't.
Yeah.
And like what you're saying as well, like, that's, oh my God, I'm so glad like we have like similar like parallels. So you're like helping me understand what had happened. But yeah, so that's why I was so sad. It's just because I knew that even though I love this person so much, that's something that I couldn't keep. And I wouldn't change anything though. And I say that, you know, I wouldn't change anything. And, you know, everything you learn from everything. Mm-hmm. But
I definitely think it's like a coming of age experience.
It
maybe
is a coming of age experience
that like everyone has to go through. Maybe everyone does go through it in like different ways. I don't know if it's so severe, but like mine felt really severe, and that shit barely ended. Like that shit kept going, and then just ended in March or something, where we finally broke ties. Like broke ties. Like stop. Can't keep coming in and out of each other's lives.
It's
like
not
this.
Fair.
It's not fair. It's like no longer even genuine. It's like, are we even the same people that like we fell in love with? No. Yeah. And it hurts. And it's like love should not feel like too much. Like the emotions that you feel, they should be strong, and they should be more encapsulated by like safety as opposed to like, oh, I love this person so much, I want to tear my whole fucking soul out. Like, they just know me. Like, I explained it to one of my friends when I was talking to him about it, because he's a mutual friend, so he knows the beginning and end of the story.
He knows all of it.
All of it. Both sides, because he's got her talking in his ear, me talking in his ear. And it's just like, it's like you have an open wound on both the people, and like it like is like trying to like heal, and it keeps trying to heal, but it's like still in the like the, it's like before it's scabbing, it's like still tender. And you're just taking both of those open wounds and just dragging them against each other constantly. Like right when they're about to like scar over, and every time like they're about to keep going back
therefore
and forth.
Therefore, you can't heal.
You can't heal.
You're coming
because
together,
because our
can't
emotions
heal.
Are those wounds. Like our emotions are just too intertwined and like deep and like saturated, and then a point where it's like you've morphed reality because this cosmic connection or whatever, like it's not real. It's not reality. Like we probably did have a strong connection at one point, but how old are we now? Or like how many years have passed? In my situation, because it was a long time that we had been like in that game of like we're in love, we feel this thing, whatever. Yours is like a little shorter or whatever, but are you, when you, I don't honestly know, like 4 years maybe? Like three?
I graduated two. In 18.
So I don't know how long your dance went on with this, but with that, I was just like, yeah, like you can't drag yourself through like love or feelings or things like that. Like love shouldn't feel that way. And like, I guess like it is like a teenage thing because when you're a teenager, you believe that that's true. And then like you become like 20 and you kind of still believe it's true. And then like, you got to like realize that love is supposed to be not
secure.
Yeah. Secure. Not so hard. Not so like, not that it's not deep, but it's just like, it doesn't hurt. Like it shouldn't like cut
it
you to your
hurt.
Soul.
Why is that? Like, why is that romanticized? Like, oh, like love hurts. It's like, yeah, it shouldn't hurt. Why? It, why?
I guess like something about our culture is like really drawn to like suffering
and pain
and tied to love. And that's why we have like so much like toxic relationships and stuff. Like we got to
I can't.
I feel like that narrative too is like barely changing in media. Like I've consumed like a little bit of like films lately where I'm like, okay, like this, it seems like healthy love, but you gotta like search for it. Where it's like the love that happens between the people in the films is just like they're just talking and they just can never stop talking to each other because they like each other. They just like each other. No, there's no pain. And then they're like, one of them has to like has something going on, so like maybe they hurt someone, they apologize, like, because that's not an interesting story. You know, an interesting story is one with pain and suffering, yes, and like trials and tribulations, come
we
back to each other.
More models of what's healthy.
Yeah,
though.
And we forget that that's not like real. And like, because what do we have in our everyday lives, like as minorities or whatever, like the homes that we come from are usually not a secure, loving home. Ooh, like usually there's a weird power dynamic because you have the machismo side and then you have the mom, or you have a single mother because, you know, like dad just doesn't stay around because maybe you're in a bad neighborhood. Maybe he's addicted to substances. My dad was addicted to substances, didn't stay around, came in and out. It was a figure that was like very toxically masculine. So it's like broken homes. We come from broken homes for multitudes of reasons, like income, culture, drugs, everything. And so it's like our ideas of love also, when we're young and we're forming these ideas of love, it's like, well, love is turbulent, love is on and off.
That's so true.
Love is so true. Painful. Love is abusive. Love is like, whether we're saying that to ourselves or
it's
not,
being fed to
it's
us.
Being fed to us. And then we receive love from hopefully one stable figure, like a mother or father. Maybe one of them is like secure and like actually loves us, but then at the same time they still don't give us affirmation. They still like, they're doing their best of
but
their
they
ability
withhold that love.
Yeah, but they don't, like maybe they had us too young too. That's another thing with Hispanic culture is people have kids too
so
young. They're not even adults themselves.
Yeah.
Never learned how to cultivate love for themselves. And so it's like all of these systematic factors.
If they couldn't
that
do
like,
that, then what makes them think that they can give that love to their child?
Exactly. They're not even conscious of it, dude. And then we grow up and we're like, now we have to figure out today, what is love really? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do I not...
We have to find it.
Exactly. How do I unconnect these things of like, okay, I'm not gonna accept this person coming in and out of my life. That's not right. Someone who loves me should be there every day.
That's true.
Like, how am I gonna really dedicate myself and want that for myself? And it's like, you gotta be conscious of it. You gotta be aware. And it's like every day we're trying to become more aware, both of us. And yeah, this is painful, but it's nice to reflect on. Like, I learned a lot from that relationship.
Yeah, I did.
And it was a beautiful relationship, but it was a painful relationship. And for you, same. It's a beautiful relationship filled with lots of poeticism and artsiness and like feelings, like real feelings,
real
you know.
Feelings.
But also now we know I shouldn't feel like that. Even though I felt a certain way, I shouldn't feel like that.
It's true.
You know? And it's like, what's the biggest lesson from that relationship? I know there's probably like a few, maybe. What's the biggest lesson that you pull away from that? Like, moving forward?
I think that's it. That's just because it feels right doesn't mean that it is.
Mm-hmm.
Processing. Like, to explain that, like, you know, but like we talked about this, it's just like no other, you know, the relationship is, you feel like it's like no other, and it's like, it literally takes you away and puts you in like this, you know, it's not real, you know, it's not really, it puts you in like a fantasy, and mm-hmm. it's beautiful and it's amazing, but it hurts and it's turbulent, and that's not okay. Mm-hmm. Love isn't supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it feels right doesn't mean it is. I wouldn't summarize like our whole relationship to that one sentence, but mm-hmm. that is something that I learned from that
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, she felt so right because of how well we knew each other, but that doesn't mean that we were right for each other. And that was a painful truth, but I'm really glad that I accepted that, because I see her now and, you know, she looks happier. And she told me too, like, we actually called on the phone not too long ago, and she told me, like, you know, I'm not coping the same ways that I used to, like, you know, I think I'm doing better now, and like I have a better job, and like I'm doing things for myself, and I'm like, that's great, you know. Part of me wishes that I would have been around to see that, but
right,
I'm glad that it happened, like, regardless, like, if I was there, if I wasn't there, because all I would want is the best for her.
Right, that's so, love.
Yeah, that is love.
I don't care if at the end of the day, like, I am right next to you there in your life. Like, I just knew it couldn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I'm glad that you're happy. You're getting happier. You got out of a situation you didn't want to be in. Or you're healing from a situation you didn't want to be in. And that you're happy now. That's love. I'm good.
Like, it's okay if I'm not there to see
it. Yeah. It's okay if I'm not a part of it mm-hmm. anymore. Because when I was a part of it, I was like, that didn't go so well.
That's right.
Yeah. It's cool. I mean, like, to know that, like, real love, it is real love. Like, those feelings were real, this genuine stuff. Maybe it wasn't the best, the healthiest, the, like, it was too much, but it never really alters from real love. At the end of the day, we both felt real love.
Mm-hmm.
And today
you did, and yours I did.
Yeah. And today that love is still there. It's not romantic or whatever, like, deep like that, but it's like, that love can't die. It's never gonna die. It's there. I want the best for that person. I'm gonna leave him alone. I'm like, I'm gonna leave him alone. They're gonna leave me alone, please.
We're gonna leave each other alone. We're gonna watch each other grow, watch each other be, but not
if something else happens, you know, distance. Cosmically, we're supposed mm-hmm. to end up in the same again. Place. We will. And we don't. Good.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good. Yeah. Yeah. Still, yeah, like you said, just because it feels right doesn't mean it is. Just because it's real love doesn't mean it's, like, based in
it's
reality.
It's healthy love.
Yeah.
Or it's based in reality.
Yeah. It needs to be based in reality. Real love is realistic, I think, where it's like, yeah, we can realistically build a life together. You make sense in my life.
You give me what I need.
It doesn't, it doesn't stress mm-hmm. me out. It falls together. And
she would stress me out.
She would stress me out. I'm sure that, like, mm-hmm. I mean, on a very minor scale, like, being in a relationship is hard. Mm-hmm. Like, maintaining that day-to-day. Yeah, but it shouldn't hurt. It shouldn't be every single day. Like, we're going at it. Balls to the wall. Like, we just can't.
And
like,
that's like,
yeah. Like, no, it's gonna be like hard in the mm-hmm. sense of, like, I'm gonna have to compromise with you. I'm gonna have to filter myself. I'm gonna have to learn to love. But like, where it is like that, like, it falls together, and you're gonna let it fall together because you want to be together, and then mm-hmm. that person wants to be with you, and it shouldn't be like this in crazy, extraneous, treacherous journey that you're on, trying to see the end of it, that, like, along the way you can't even enjoy yourself. You just gotta,
if it's more pain than hurt, it's not
because
inevitably you will hurt each other.
Yeah, It's a 5-to-1 yeah. ratio.
Like, I, you know, when people say
they say five good interactions to one negative reaction.
I like that.
Interaction. That's like a base therapy
thing. That sounds like a therapy thing. I was just going to say
that's that from there. Therapy. Flexing therapy. No, it is. It's just like, it shouldn't be more harm than good.
And that's it. People say, like, I remember in high school, you know, this is something I would hear too. It's like, oh, like, I'll never hurt you.
Like, and, what?
You know, and as an adult now, it's like, oh my God, like, that's one of the dumbest things you could say, because inevitably in relationships, you will hurt people, mm-hmm. but it's how you cope with that together, how you communicate, how you mend that.
You take take accountability for that.
How you take accountability, mm-hmm. like how you come back from that. Mm-hmm. That's like, that's the thing that's said a lot. Like, oh, like I'll never hurt you. Or like, it's not true. Like we are it's going impossible. To hurt each other. It's impossible. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But yeah, I mean, as love comes together now, as we're adults, there's a lot of shit that we learned that I haven't, like, we didn't talk about here, but I talked about on the other episode. I hope that you can cultivate it, you know, stronger within yourself, like you're trying to do right now. It's gonna take a minute. I'm still going on it. Like, some days you're like, I'm the best shit to ever touch this earth right here. And the next day you're like, ooh, I'm rough. I don't know about me today. I'm just here. Oh God. I'm
just trying to get through.
Just blast music. But yeah, I hope, you know, keep progressing every day, and like your bad days that you don't take so hard to heart. And I know you won't, because you're very resilient, like we said.
Thank you.
I love you, dog.
I love you too.
Cool. The end.